was lost. And do you really believe that people goes to hell or they go to heaven? There's no in between. I wonder how many people crossed my life this week and your life on the way to a place called hell. The Bible says, you know, there are more people going to go to hell than heaven because it says wide road leads to destruction. Narrow road leads to eternal life. So just wonder how many. Paul had this on his mind in verses 17, 18, 19 when he described a person living their life and on their way to a place called hell. You see, it's just a natural lifestyle that leads to hell. Nothing you have to do, just live natural. And this world's standards that we're living in, and you're on the way to a place called hell. Don't have to kill anybody. Don't have to rob a bank. Just live a lifestyle, what we would call naturally. Well, how do we get to hell from your address if you're lost here this morning? How do you get to hell from your address as you think about it this morning? If we really thank the Lord for our salvation, and the greatest thing that's ever happened to you is salvation, the saving of your soul eternally. That is the best thing that ever happened to anybody. Wouldn't we want to share that with other people? Wouldn't we want to be concerned about others? That song that she just sung, just thank you, Lord. We need to share it with others. So this morning in Ephesians chapter 4, 17 through 19, Paul is describing a lifestyle, just a natural lifestyle that's on their way to a place called hell. That's a terrible word. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye, talk about the saved, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just pray today that, Father, the glorious light of the gospel is shining into someone's heart today. If they're here today without Jesus Christ, their heart is darkened. They're blind. They cannot see. Father, we just pray, Father, for the far saints of this service, that, Lord, that we might carry this light to a lost and a dying world. Father, we know that we are living in a very dark world, and it's getting darker every day. So, Father, we just pray that we might live and let our light shine. And, Father, we'll thank you for salvation, and that others, oh God, might come to know you, Father, through each and every one of us, of that light that you have given us. So, Father, we just pray that you'll work. Each heart will be filled with the joy of salvation here this day. Father, we want to thank you and praise you for all the great things that you give us each day and what you do for us. So we just want to thank you in the name of Jesus this day. Amen. In this same chapter, verse 1, it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation wherein you are called. We studied this on a Wednesday night. Walk worthy, talking to us today. Walking in this chapter is not just a stroll as we out making a stroll during the evening time or making a stroll with somebody, but it is a lifestyle. It is a behavior. It is a conduct. It is a daily basis of how that you live your life as a lost person. Now, Proverbs 16 and 25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Most people think they're living a life that they're going to hell. I mean, going to heaven, but they're not. They'll be going to hell if they're living what Paul had described here. Verse 1, walk worthy of your salvation. 4 in chapter 17, I say and testify to the Lord that you henceforth walk no as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Walk worthy of your salvation. Not as other Gentiles walk, but make a different lifestyle. Do we really walk a different lifestyle than lost people walk? And Ephesians 2 and 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient. It means that you once walked as lost people, if you're saved this morning. You once walked as they walked, but walk no longer as these lost people. Now you need to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that you walk no more. Now this is talking to the saved people here today, verse 17 and 18, but he describes the lifestyle of the lost. And just look around us and what he is saying here this morning of the lost. It could be a lost church member. You see, people are not saved by joining a church. Y'all do know that, don't you? I mean, you're not saved by being baptized. You do know that, don't you? I do believe we have some people on our church roll that's not saved. I don't know who's saved and who's lost. They don't have a mark on their back that I can tell the difference in you either, but I'm sure there probably some is. It's dependent on church membership. Church membership will not save you. You are lost if you have not been born again. And it says walk, you know, not as other Gentiles walk. Now, you see, this is a course, and Paul was concerned about this, and, you know, we need to be concerned about it too. But those who are lost are not concerned about church. They're not concerned about the Word of God. They're not concerned about the things of God. They're lost, and they could care less. No church, no Bible, and he describes the lost there. In Ephesians chapter 2, there in verse 1, it says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their indignation, and their foolish heart was darkened. They glorified him not. They did not glorify him. They did not thank him. As that song Miss Quita sung, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. But they don't thank God. You know people don't thank God walking around breathing God's air, eating God's food, and they don't thank God. They have no mention of God in their life. And Paul is describing this. He said, but you know what? He made you alive. He has quickened you. You was dead. Every one of us was dead in trespasses and sin. But he quickened us. A lost person is a dead person. Spiritually dead. They do not see the thing that you and I see. Here's the description that Paul tells us now in these verses of scripture, Ephesians 4, 17, 18, and 19. As we look at this lost world today, I said it could be a lost church member, whatever it is, but they don't love the things of God. People don't love the things of God in this life. You see, they have a lifestyle which is headed to a place called hell. Y'all really believe that people is really going to hell that don't know Jesus Christ? Do we really believe that? They're really on a jet ski going to hell. The lifestyle that leads to hell. You say, how do you get to hell from the place where they live? How do you get to hell? Well, it says you walk not as lost in the vanity of their minds. Overall statement, Paul's going to fill in the blanks for us in these three statements in here. He fills in his blank. Vanity. The only one other place that's mentioned in the New Testament is vanity, and that is Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, vain, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their indignation, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their heart was darkened. And also it says, vain. That same word there, emptiness, meanness, they have nothingness, any value whatsoever in this life because they go into a place called hell. You know, Solomon, you know, he was the wisest man that said it ever lived, and he wrote that book, Ecclesiastes, and he said, described his life when he was trying to live this life without Jehovah, trying to live his life without God, as a lot of people try to do today. When it comes down to the end of his life, he tried everything. As most richest man, you know, he tried women, he tried songs, he tried alcohol, he tried music, he tried dancing, he tried materialism. He tried everything. And you know what? When he come down to the end of his life, you know what it says? Vanity, vanity, all is vanity without Jehovah God. A life without Jesus Christ is vanity. No meaning, no purpose, and no sense. People strolling along. A life that leads to a place called hell. As Jesus Christ describes this life in Matthew 17 to 13, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. He's describing this a very narrow road. I wonder how many people is in Pierce County and in surrounding area of this church right now. How many people? You know what? This church could not hold them. It could not hold them. But it says, you know, there's a narrow gate. There's a narrow road. There's just going to be a few people that go in thereat. And I always picture this. Everybody's on this road. You got to get off this wide road. And I know most people have been to Atlanta, one of these big cities, driving on interstate road, when you go about 6 or 8 lanes going in one direction, and everybody going about 75 or 80 miles an hour, and there you are over here on the left-hand lane, and there's an exit you got to turn off over there. And you got to get there pretty quick. Boy, you get sweating, and I tell you, you don't know what in the world to do. And if you know what, if you're not real careful, you'll miss that exit. And then whenever you do, buddy, you're in trouble. Well, you know what? That's what it's talk about. You got to get off that wide road, and there's an exit. You better get off there, get off now, just like I'm speaking this morning. And maybe someone here this morning is on that wide road. And there's an exit this morning for you in the Word of God. You better get off now on that narrow road. Because if you go past, you're in trouble. You're in difficulties. He says, you better get on this narrow road. Vanity. The vanity of their mind. He gives an x-ray here, vision of many people, even church members that do not know Jesus Christ have lost. He gives us an x-ray. And how do we get to hell from where we at? The lifestyle is marked now by intellectual darkness. This is the x-ray because we're marked, or people's marked by intellectual darkness. And as intellectual darkness, we find in verse 18 again, having their understanding darkened, it says. Their understanding, mental darkness, lost. The problem starts off in the mind. The problem is thinking. The process is all messed up with the unsaved. It's marked by their thinking process is all messed up. They don't think at all. A lot of people don't even think at all. They don't want to think about it. You see, they just go through their daily routines. They get up, they have their donut, they have their bowl of cereals, put on their work clothes, get in their car, go to school, go to work, whatever they're going to do. Just an average lifestyle. They don't even want to think about it whatsoever. You know what? They're just marching on, going towards destruction. They don't want to think about it. They don't want anything to concern them. No thoughts whatsoever. Don't even think about it. Avoid thinking about it. People don't want to think about going to hell. Just one step is all it takes. They don't want to think about it. They want to think about it, the reason why they're going to a place called hell. They want to avoid thinking about salvation. Just make excuses is all they can. That's the reason they don't come. People use also workaholics. Oh, they work all the time. They don't have time. It says, I've got to make a living. You know, a lot of people have been caught up in that. No, you got to make a life. Not just a living, it counts. Their mind is on their work. They think it's all as important, just work, 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 work. And then some people, you know, their mind is all messed up on kind of drugs. And boy, if I've been watching television, we've been having a lot of drug problems in this country, and it's going to get a lot worse. Alcohol, like I said, in the next county over, we're a county. Sell it on Sunday any other time. People don't care. You ever hear anybody say they got stoned out of their mind? Well, that's what it's talking about. Their thinking process is all messed up. And then the thinking process all messed up in the entertainment that we have coming before us today on the TVs and the movies today, the entertainment. The process of thinking is all messed up when we see this type of stuff. And then we see sports. You know, there's nothing wrong with sports, but people's minds all wrapped up in sports activity. They have no time for the things of God. A lot of times on television, you see these arenas and sometimes football games, mostly while I'm watching the college. They have, 100,000 people, you know, there at that place. I just wonder how many of them people really have time for God. There's nothing wrong with ball, nothing wrong with sports of any kind, as long as it don't take the place of the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they have their mind process messed up. The thinking is messed up. Keeps them really from coming to the grips with the seriousness and issues of the time that we have in Jesus Christ and worship Him of all type. But then you see there are some people just don't want to think for themselves. And they let someone else do the thinking for them. Sometimes it comes in music, as I see this drug culture, you know, and the music that they listen to. They get the message out on music. The music is thinking for them about the drugs. And then we have music even in our church system today. A lot of them in our Baptist churches, not even gospel message at all in the music, but they call that. And then they have these old talk shows. I hope you don't watch any of things. They're full of old talk shows, but it's people trying to get you to think like they think. And not only that, it comes down to preachers behind the pulpit. You see, you don't really ought to believe what a preacher says. You ought to be thinking what to know what the Bible says. Me or anybody else. You need to know what the Bible says. That's what old Billy Graham always said, the Bible says. You need to know what the Bible says, not my what I tell you to think about, but you ought to know where it's coming from in the Word of God as the Bible. You remember the prodigal son? He done threw all of his living away and was out there in a hog pen. You know what it said? He came to himself. He started thinking for himself. And you know what? To get someone saved, and I witness to a lot of people from time to time, the first thing and the most important thing you do is to get them thinking about themselves, about heaven and hell. Their thought process is the very first thing that you try to tell them. It is marked with this thinking process, but then also of rejecting revelation. Our thinking process, but rejecting revelation. Intellectual darkness, that's what it's marked by. A lot of people reject revelation. You know, it started off early in the Garden of Eden. Did you know Adam and Eve had the Word of God? And they was forbidden of that fruit. What did they do? They rejected the revelation of the Word of God that was given unto them. That's exactly what happens to people today. When they spiritually fall, as Adam and Eve did, they reject the Word of God. They reject the revelation that God gave us. This is the honest revelation that God will ever give mankind about himself, about Jesus Christ, about your soul salvation. This is a revelation of God. If you reject this, there's nothing left for you. You're going to fall. This is a revelation of the Lord. And I thank the Lord for it so much as the Word of God. I appreciate and thank the Lord for the Word of God. You know, see, if someone is blind, though, it don't matter how bright the sun is shining, and it's shining bright today, and I thank the Lord for the beautiful sunshine. But if they're blind, it does not matter how bright the sun shines. They cannot see it. If someone's blind to the Word of God, it don't matter how much truth that you tell them, they cannot see it. They are blind. They cannot see it. They cannot understand it because they're darkened. They're lost. People believe in all types of things. They believe in evolution. Did you know there's a lot of people who believe in evolution? Very brilliant people, another way of thinking. But they're hostile to the Word of God. That's the biggest hoax that ever been put on mankind is evolution. That man come from a monkey, or man come from slime, or man come from something else. Religious blindness, having their understanding darkened. You see, our country is what's happening in our voting system today in our country, in our electoral system, because of the blindness of people's heart. Religious blindness. And I tell you, we are blind today, and we are running fast into darkness all the time. We see the New Age movement. That's darkness. Shirley MacLaine, have y'all ever read anything about the New Age movement? Really, it's not a New Age movement, it's an Old Age movement. Christian Science, they believe death is just imagination, mankind. Maybe the Hindu, you know what they believe? They believe if you die, you come back as a cow or a bug or a spider. You see what the Mormons believe in? They believe that we'll all come little gods, and it goes on and on and on and on, because you see we have religious degeneration. We have ignored the Word of God today. In chapter 4 and verse 17 again, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. It reminds you, you think about here in Romans, where it talks about Romans, where a man goes down, 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 down. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who holds the truth and unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible thing of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without an excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Blinded is what we have today. There's so much blindness in this world today. Jesus Christ was on this earth. He was the light of this world. He walked around. He was a light. Jesus Christ is not walking around in this world in the flesh no more. He's back in heaven, but he put his light somewhere else. Where did he put it? He put his light in the Word of God. And it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. But the lost people do not read the word of God, so they don't see the light of the word of God to understand it. So he put his light somewhere else. Where did he put it? You that's sitting here today, it's saved, been born again, had experience with the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. He put this light in you. So if he put this light in you, the onlyest chance, as I said this past week, how many people has crossed our path, is lost and on their way to hell? The light, he said, he put it in you. And if they don't see the light in you, where are they going to see the light? Where are they going to see the light? It's giving them their last chance and their understanding that there's a light, and it comes from the Lord, is in you and I today, how that we live our life. Life that leads to hell is without Christ. But not only that, you see, it's marked by really the hardness of our heart, the emotional hardness. All people that's lost today, because of the blindness of their heart, that means hardness, verse 18 and verse 19 again, the blindness, the hardness of their heart. And that word there, hardness, means like a breaking of bone. I've had both my arms broke. Some of you have had some bones broken in your body, and especially across my forearm here. And for a long time, there was a big knot. What it means, a shield will come around that bone. And that's what it's talking about. It protects it, a hard part. So when it says the hardness of your heart, a shield becomes around your heart. And the hardness of your heart is what happens to us, a shield. And you know, when that shield comes around, you have no effect. Like the hardness of the shields in your hand, you have no effect. There's an emotional hardness that comes in our life. And when this happens, you know what happens to us? A lot of times people, when they're lost, they start sacrificing their purity. How this began? Hebrews 3 and 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened, that shield again, through the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is talking about it. Sin brings emotional hardness. Did y'all know that? Sin brings emotional hardness. Now, the first time, maybe whenever someone sins, you know, their mind, it starts hardening their mind. But you see, as they sin, first time, they get frightened, they're conscious. But you see, when they keep repeating this sin, it becomes easier all the time. Why? Because of the callousness of your heart. If we're talking about drinking alcohol in this other county, drinking here in Pierce County, but you see, I know it is for young boys. I guess probably the worst thing that any young boy could do when I was coming along was drinking some moonshine or either a beer. That was about the worst thing. They didn't have drugs that I knew of this when I come along. I'm proud they didn't. You know, boys know what I'm talking about. Maybe you go out and you drink, take a beer with the boys. Maybe you take that little drink and, man, you said, man, you feel so bad. You done something you know you ought not have done. You took that drink. Maybe you smoke a cigarette. Now, this is talking about cigarettes. This is talking about Prince Albert you roll up with your hands. Maybe you smoked a cigarette, and now you're so hurt when you've done that. You know you ought not have done it, but you sacrificed your purity. But you see, after a while, if you didn't quit, you keep taking that drink, and what happens? You become alcoholic because it gets easier and easier and easier and easier. Sin, easier and easier. It keeps coming on. And for long, you know that the drink takes you. We know what we're talking about, don't we? Yes, sirree. Then you take maybe a young girl that sacrificed her purity. She's out with this old boy. You better listen to me, girls, and also listen to me, boys, this morning, because you're not going to hear this nowhere else. She sacrificed her purity with that old boy. She feels dirty. She feels ashamed. Her heart's broken. Maybe she's afraid her mother and daddy might find out, break their heart. Maybe she may be pregnant. She's hurt so bad and so ashamed. But a few days she gets over it. She's back with the old boy again. Next time it's not as hard. She has sex again. Weren't quite so bad for her. Then the next time, And then the next time, she don't feel bad at all. And the next time, then she moves in with him, shacking up, past feelings. It don't bother her. Don't bother him. Past feelings. On and on. Heart becomes petrified. She says, I love him. 19 says, past feelings. Lost person gets in this condition. Feels no pain. They're sliding. They're moving in the wrong direction. Past feelings. I know most of y'all saw the debates. Worst thing that I think about the debates that disturbed me more than anything else when they got on abortion. And they started describing abortion at last month. When they turn that baby around, cut the back of his neck and suck his brains out. Hillary's sitting over there and grinning about it. You know what was wrong with her? You better listen. Past feelings. One foot in hell when you get past feelings. A dangerous situation for any human being to be in. Past feelings. The fire has already begun to burn around their feet. Moral deadness. Moral deadness. We have this. And it's marked by sexual perversion over and over again. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That means they want more and more and more of it. They support it more and more and more and more. As we see Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women, lesbians, did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And even as God, not liking to retain them in their heart, gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He gave them up, and he gave them over. A very serious condition. Romans 1 and 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. There are a lot of fools today, God says. God gave them up to their own sin because they kept on keeping on. You see, whenever a people keeps on and on and on, you know what God will do? He will give you what you want. And by the way, we're going to get what we deserve in this country, I'm afraid. When we insist on this type of lifestyle, hell is waiting. Paul has described this, lasciviousness, unhindered lust, enjoys their sin and parades their sins. People are proud of shacking up today. They are proud of homosexuality today. Lesbian today. Abortion today, they are proud of these things. It's going to tear up a nation, and hell's waiting. Telling you the truth today, Paul says, I want to give you an x-ray of what's happening today. To work in all uncleanness with greediness. Greediness, desire more and more and more of this. That's when you see more and more and more of what's happening today. All sin is addictive. Every sin of all kind is addictive. Proverbs says, 1:24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. It's thinking what we're going to say to God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, before much very longer in our country. And he said, I'm not going to hear you. You've had your chance. For years now, you've turned your back on me. You've kicked me out of everything they are, out of government. We got out of school. And I tell you what, God's out of most churches. He's out of most people's lives. He's out of families' lives. No time, no care, no concern. And then we're going to get what we deserve. And he can say, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen fast. He said, I'm not going to hear you. With any hope? Yes, there's hope. And that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. On a happy, good note, you know what? God can stop that downward spin of anybody that's going down, because you never get too low that God can't reach down and save you. He reached down and saved me. And I tell you what, if he can save me, he can save anybody. And he can save everybody. He can save anybody that wants to be saved today. Do you really believe that God wants to save you this morning? If you're lost, do you really believe that you need to be saved this morning to start with? You need to start thinking. You need to think. Your lifestyle. Are you going to heaven or hell? You say, well, God, I don't believe in a God would send anybody to hell. I don't believe in a God would send anybody to hell either. God don't send anybody to hell. That's your choice. He made a way that you can escape. And that escapism is through the cross of Calvary. You see, all you have to do is call on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But man don't want to think. We don't want to think the condition we're in. Let us do anything else but think about it. You see, we're in intelligent darkness. We don't want to think. But I tell you today, people need to be saved. And I wonder how many people this past week that I didn't witness to, probably that I should have witnessed to. How about you? Do we really believe that people is going to hell without Jesus? You know, God spoke to your heart this morning. And a lot of people, we may be on a downward spin. You say, well, if I come now, they'll think I'm terrible. I'm going to tell you, it does not matter what people think about you or about me. You know what's more important? Is what God knows about you. Don't worry about what people think. Everybody wants to be liked, don't we? We want all to be liked. But I tell you what, whether you're liked or not, God loves you. And that's most important, that God loves you. Now all you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. Nobody can ever be saved till they get to the point they know that they're lost. You see, a lot of time you say, well, we need the good news, we need the good news, we need the good news. Well, you'll never really understand the good news till you understand the bad news. And the bad news is I was lost, and I was walking my way to a place called hell all the time. I was going about my job. I was working. I thought I was making a good living for my wife and my sons and my two sons at that time. I was working. I was about like an alcoholic. I mean, a workaholic, and I didn't ever get a chance to do much drinking. Didn't want to drink, but I was a workaholic. And I'm going to tell you, one sin is just about as another sin, because it'll all lead to hell. And I thought I was doing good. I said, I ain't got time to go to church. I didn't read my Bible. You know, I didn't even know there was an Old and New Testament. I didn't know there was a Bible there, but I thought Bible, all Bible, Bible. I didn't know that. My old grandmother wasn't one ever showed me anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know I was lost. I was blinded. Couldn't see. I was darkened. Oh, I thought I was a pretty good man. You see, I thought I was a pretty good man. I always believed. As I told you, see, nobody's never saved by believing in God. Nobody's never saved by believing in God. I believed God all my life, but I wasn't saved all my life as you. I was saved when I believed in Jesus Christ. And that light had to come on for me to understand that I was lost. And how it come on, I had to start thinking. Somebody came to me and started me thinking about my soul's salvation. How about yours this morning? What's going to happen to you if you die this instant right now? Where are you going to be? If you don't know, you need to get right with God, because the Bible says we can know. I know where I'm going. You know, I told you several times in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ has the keys of hell and death. You know what that means to you that's saved here this morning? That means he locked you out of hell, and he locked you into heaven. Now, I tell you what, now that'll cause you want to shout, won't it? Because I can't go to hell. Are you bragging? No, sirree, I'm not bragging. I know where I come from. I come from that miry clay. And I'm not bragging on myself, but I'm bragging on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Mr. Laquita, I just want to tell the Lord thank you sometimes. Not asking for anything, but say thank you sometimes. Miss Laquita, could I get you to come up and sing that song? Or I want to mess things up. Can I mess things up this morning? I want to mess things up. Can y'all get that back on there? I want to let her sing that song again. Because you know, sometimes I ask God for a lot of things. Mostly, gimme, 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 gimme. How about y'all? How about y'all? Gimme, 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 gimme. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And thank you, Miss Laquita, that you know sometimes what we ought to do. It's just exactly what she's going to do, sing that song. Lord, I just want to thank you. Anybody here this morning just want to come and say, thank you, Lord? Go ahead and get ready. Go ahead. Just want to say thank you. Thank you for the life that you've gave me. Thank you for the life that you've gave my family.